tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
Good afternoon, everyone. I want to welcome you to Tuesday's edition of End of the Age. I'm Dave Robbins, and I want to thank you for joining me today. And by way of announcement, before we get started today, for those of you that are in the Dallas area, I want to let you know that Irvin Baxter will be speaking in McKinney, Texas, on Sunday, July the 10th, this upcoming Sunday, and it's going to be at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. The address is the Wesley United Methodist Church. It's located at 2705 Virginia Parkway. That's in McKinney, Texas. And his subject is going to be breaking prophetic fulfillments. We've got prophecy happening and being fulfilled all around us. And so it'd be it's a very hot topic right now. We're doing it at most of our prophecy conferences on the Sunday morning session. And so you might want to join him if you're in the Dallas area. I know a lot of times we'll have people drive from all over the place to come to one of our sessions. So if you want to see Irvin speak the July the 10th, 2 p.m. in the afternoon, remember that's at the Wesley United Methodist Church. It's located at 2705 Virginia Parkway in McKinney, Texas. And the subject, breaking prophetic fulfillments. Believe me, folks, you will not be disappointed in hearing him speak. So I'm going to talk today about, of course, yesterday, Declaration of Independence. We celebrated the independence of our nation, 1776. And I want to talk about that in comparison to globalization and the move towards a one world government. We signed a Declaration of Independence, not interdependence. Not dependent on any other nation on earth or any other global governing entity. We signed a Declaration of Independence. We celebrated that yesterday, of course, July the 4th. And I would be remiss not to bring that up and talk about that today and where it's found in Scripture. The Declaration of Independence and the birth of this nation is found in Scripture. So we're going to talk about that today. And to start off with, I want to go over an article because it's being talked about in the news right now, globalization. Go to Google and search globalization. It's being talked about by all of the politicians now. Are they for it or are they against it? Well, globalization is a bad thing. It's leading us into a one-world government. So it's something we don't want to be a part of. So recently in the New York Post, there was an article titled, "Obama Will Need His Oratory Powers to sell globalization." Why? Because he believes in a one-world government. The article states, when President Obama travels to North Carolina, which he just arrived there, and Europe this week, he will press an argument that could define foreign policy in the last 6 months of his presidency. And that's that Americans and Europeans must not forsake their open, interconnected societies for the nativism or nationalism that's being preached by Donald Trump or Britain's Brexiteers, the people that exited the EU. Well, of course, nationalism is the desire. Now, Obama's against this. Nationalism is the desire to form a separate and independent nation of their own, which is the United States by definition. Or it's exactly what our founders did by signing the Declaration of Independence. President Obama is against that. He's for globalization. Globalization is the process of converting the world from consisting of many sovereign nations into a single global government. Mr. Obama went on to say in the article that restricting trade or giving into protectionism in this 21st century economy, it simply won't work. Even if we wanted to, we can't seal ourselves off from the rest of the world. You say, well, what's protectionism? Well, protectionism is the policy of protecting domestic industries or the industries in our nation against foreign competition. by means of tariffs, subsidies, import quotas, or other restrictions or handicaps placed on the import of foreign competitors. Well, that's a good thing. We're protecting our industry here in the United States. Obama is against that. And of course, he's preaching globalization. He's saying, we can't just protect ours. We've got to protect, because of our interconnectedness, we've got to protect everybody around the world. Rather than be an independent nation, we're going to be an interdependent nation. So it's obvious that Mr. Obama opposes the idea of the nation state, which is the United States. And he does believe in the process of globalization, or a move towards a one world government. Globalization would yield up the sovereignty of the United States to a one world governing entity. Well, of course, the Bible prophesies the establishment of a one world government just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what President Obama will be advocating in his upcoming speeches in North Carolina and Europe. Now think about it, folks. The President of the United States of America is advocating a move towards yielding up the sovereignty of the United States, yielding up that sovereignty to a one world governing body. The President of the United States. It's called globalization. So when you hear that term in the news, it's not a good thing. It's a very bad thing, especially for the freest nation on earth, the United States of America. So in light of this, and because we celebrated America's 240-year anniversary of our independence yesterday, I thought we would discuss the Declaration of Independence and where the prophecy of this great document is found in Scripture, and the prophesied future world government that will try to strip us of this precious document. So it's exactly what President Obama will be advocating and is advocating on the world stage. It's very important that we understand this document, number one, where it's found in prophecy, and what the future holds potentially for this world. So, the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence was signed as a result of our revolutionary forefathers, their revolt against King George III, and his tyrannical dictatorship over the 13 colonies. In order for these men to realize their God-given right to freedom as an independent union, thousands of men sacrificed their lives in the Revolutionary War between 1775 and 1783. Since then, over a million men and women have died in American wars, defending this cherished document that has set our nation apart from all others. So for over 200 years now, our independence as a nation has been the very foundation of our republican form of government. Now, I fear that the citizens of the United States, after just a short 240 years, have been so lulled to sleep that we cannot see the erosion of this document right before our very eyes. The very freedoms that the Declaration of Independence stands for are being stripped away under the guise of global interdependence. Make no mistake, folks, the sovereignty of the United States is being yielded to a world governing body as I speak to you today. The United Nations has been very successful in keeping their global governing system under the radar using phrases like globalization and global interdependence. The true definition for globalization is the process of converting the world from consisting of many sovereign nations into a single global government. Anyone who believes in and promotes the process of globalization is advocating a world government. That is why those who believe in a world government, they absolutely detest Donald Trump. Why? Because he's repeatedly slamming the process of globalization. He's saying it's basically raping our country. And now that's a harsh term, but he's actually right. And he's right to do so to slam the process of globalization. If globalization were to succeed, this would put the United States under the rule of a single global authority, and our rights as a sovereign nation would cease to exist. So we're sold a bill of goods by smooth-talking politicians that we all need to work together to form a perfect global village. They say we are now all interdependent, living on the same earth, breathing the same air. But do we fully understand where these proposals will ultimately lead us? Under global interdependence, United States citizens would be subject to international laws concerning, let's say, things like education, taxes, banking, religion, climate change, wealth redistribution. And folks, the list goes on and on. And of course, all of this would be enforced by a world military. That's where we're headed. So simply put, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence, they wouldn't be worth the parchment that they're written on. So remember this. It's very key. The process of globalization is diametrically opposed to the principles set forth in the Declaration of Independence. And if you've listened to this show any time at all, you're aware that the United States of America and the Declaration of Independence was prophesied by God 2,500 years ago. It's in prophecy, folks. What we're seeing happening, the Declaration of Independence, the establishment of the nation state of the United States of America, was prophesied by God 2,500 years ago. Of course, 240 years ago, 1776, the prophecy was fulfilled. And now we're seeing the world government being established and advocated by the President of the United States in 2016, the very same world government that will be established on earth just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. So let's look at it. Where is the prophecy of the Declaration of Independence and the establishment of the nation that is called America, the United States of America, in Scripture? Well, the prophecy is recorded in Daniel 7, verse 1 through 3. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and a vision of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream, and he told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. So this is the beginning of the prophecy that is written in symbols in Daniel chapter 7. It's very key that we understand this. And then, of course, the next several verses are going to explain what I mean. In Daniel 7, Daniel saw four beasts, which were a lion with eagle's wings, a bear, a leopard with four heads, and a beast that Daniel could not describe, but whose dominant characteristics was its 10 horns. So you say, well, Dave, what do these beasts symbolize? Well, a little bit farther down the chapter, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 17, it states, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Verse 23 adds to this by saying, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diversed from all the kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. So according to verse 17, the beasts, these four beasts symbolize kings. And according to verse 23, the beasts symbolize kingdoms. So we know for certain that these beasts represent nations along with the rulers of each nation. Sometimes it's referred to the ruler. Sometimes it's referred to the nation as a whole. So the next question is, when will these nations exist? Did they exist 5,000 years ago? Or will they exist 3,000 or 4,000 years in the future? It's very key because something happens while these nations, well, these particular nations are on the earth. Something very key, and we're going to get to that. So when will these nations exist? In Daniel chapter 7, verse 4 through 8, which continues on with Daniel's vision, it identifies the four beasts. And it states, Daniel 7:9, it says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. So this is describing the transition from the kingdom of human government to the kingdom of God. The Bible teaches when Jesus Christ returns to the earth, he will remove all human government from the earth. And he will establish a kingdom which will never pass away and will never be destroyed. So here, Daniel sees these beasts with their thrones cast down and Jesus Christ crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's at this time when the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ will begin. So this is what Scripture refers to as the kingdom of God, this 1,000-year millennial reign. Then in Daniel chapter 7, verse 11, Daniel kind of backs up to explain what will occur immediately before the kingdom of God is established. And it states, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. So what is the horn? Let's ask that number one. What's the horn in Daniel 7:11? Well, the last beast identified in Daniel 7:7 had, remember, it had 10 horns. Daniel couldn't, he'd never seen a beast like this. So he said, it's just a horrible looking beast and it's got 10 horns. Well, these horns represent 10 kings who will form a federation just in the very near future. And out of these 10 kings, another will rise up and it's going to uproot three of those 10 and become very great. Well, that great horn is the very one which will become the Antichrist. So it's given us a picture here of where the Antichrist will come from, because a little later on, I'm going to show you what these 10 horns represent, the 10 nations. Now, we know from these scriptures, the three uprooted horns represent three kings. We also know from Daniel 7:11 that there is one beast, one kingdom, but 10 kings who are apparently in alliance just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Then one king rises up after the 10. It uproots three and then becomes great and rules the entire world all the way up until the time of Jesus' second coming. Other scriptures from the Bible tell us that the Antichrist will rule the entire world until Jesus comes. So Daniel 7:11 is a prophecy about the Antichrist. Again, it states, I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn, which is the Antichrist, spake. I beheld even till the beast, which is referring to the Antichrist and his kingdom, or his one world governing body, that will be slain. It's going to be done away with. Daniel said, I watched and I heard the words that the horn spake, which the Antichrist spake. I beheld even until the beast, the Antichrist, which was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. The Bible teaches us when Jesus Christ comes, the Antichrist and his religious partner, the false prophet, or the Pope at that time, are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Satan will also be bound at that time for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. This is what Daniel 7:11 is referring to. It's the fulfillment of this prophecy. The prophecy continues with Daniel 7:12, further explaining, and it states, as concerning the rest of the beasts, the rest of the nations that were left on the earth at this time of God's wrath, the rest of the beast are the rest of the kingdoms or nations that the latter part of Daniel 7:12 states that they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. So the other kingdoms or nations will have their dominion taken away when the Antichrist is destroyed, but they will not be destroyed along with the Antichrist. So the timing of these events, which is at the second coming of Jesus Christ, correlates perfectly to the end of the human government and the beginning of the kingdom of God. It all culminates right there at the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible explains humanity will continue on the earth for another 1,000 years after the Antichrist is destroyed. You say, well, hold on a minute, Dave. What are you talking about? I'm giving you the prophecy of where the United States and the Declaration of Independence is discovered in the Bible. And we're going to get that to here in just a second. But it's very key that you understand these beasts in Daniel chapter 7 or you won't understand the prophecy. So the nations whose power has been removed with all their lives prolonged into the millennium, this is very significant because it reveals to us Jesus Christ will return during the lifetime of these nations and or these beasts that symbolize nations. So you say, well, hold on a minute. There's been hundreds and hundreds of nations on the earth since the beginning of time. How can we identify these nations? Well, let's jump back up to Daniel 7:4 and start with each beast that represents a nation and see if we can define that nation. So, remember, the first one was like a lion. Daniel 7:4 says, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now this was all given to Daniel in a vision, and he's writing down the vision so that we, 2,500 years from now, can understand when you could understand the writings of the book of Daniel, could understand what these nations, these beasts symbolized. So, in modern times, is there a nation in existence today whose recognized animal symbol is the lion? Well, of course there is. The nation is Great Britain. The lion has been symbolized on Great Britain's flags. And in Webster's Third New International Dictionary, it defines the lion as the symbol of Great Britain. Additionally, Great Britain has for years been frequently referred to as the lion in newspaper articles and also political old satire cartoons. For example, an article was published on March 21st, 2011 by the Telegraph, and the title of the article was "The British Lion Roars Over Libya. Is this the return of Great Britain as a world power?" Well, at that time, the Libyan war against Muammar Gaddafi was potentially a seminal moment for Great Britain. During the Libyan conflict, Britain displayed the kind of decisive leadership on the world stage that the United States was, I'm sorry to say, sorely lacking under Barack Obama. So you remember the title of the article, "The British Lion Roars Over Libya. Is this the return of Great Britain as a world power?" Folks, Great Britain is the lion prophesied by Daniel 2,500 years ago. It's a modern nation on the earth today. And remember, the Bible says the Lord would come back during the lifetime of these nations. The next one, the bear. Daniel 7:5 says, "And I behold another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side and had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh." So along with the eagle, the identity of the bear is probably the easiest to recognize for most of us. Russia's commonly associated with the bear animal symbol. Honestly, I'm in world news all day long, and there are literally hundreds of articles referring to Russia as the bear. For example, on May 25th of 2016, just a few weeks ago, the Foreign Policy magazine published an article entitled, "Fearing the Russian Bear, Sweden Inches Toward NATO." Since the annexation of Crimea and the outbreak of war in eastern Ukraine in 2014, things have gotten very tense between Russia and Sweden. Russian jets have repeatedly prodded Swedish airspace, and a massive hunt was launched for a foreign submarine suspected to be Russian off the coast of Stockholm. And the closure of Swedish airspace last November may have been caused by a Russian cyber attack. Well, Russia's role in the war in Ukraine and the changing security environment in the Baltic region is forcing Stockholm to reconsider its 200-year-old policy of neutrality in armed conflicts. And these agreements bring Sweden closer to the alliance than ever before with NATO. So the key is, remember the title of the article, "Fearing the Russian Bear, Sweden Inches Toward a Union with NATO." So folks, the bear is absolutely Russia. This is just one article. There are hundreds and hundreds of them. Of course, we move on to the eagle, and I tell you what I'll do. I'm going to wait till after the break to get into the eagle. Obviously, the eagle's what I'm referring to. It's America. But I want to spend a little time on it, and I don't want to be crammed up against a break here. So again, let me announce to you before the end of the break, if you're in the Dallas area, Irvin Baxter is going to be speaking, or in the surrounding area. We've had people drive for an hour or two to hear Irvin speak. If you're in the Dallas area, Irvin's going to be speaking in McKinney, Texas, on Sunday, July the 10th at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. The address is the Wesley United Methodist Church, located at 2705 Virginia Parkway in McKinney, Texas. And the subject is going to be breaking prophetic fulfillments. And believe me, we don't lack for things to talk about. I can pick up any newspaper or any magazine that refers to politics or world news, this, that, and the other, and find things that are pertaining to the fulfillment of Bible prophecy in just about anything. I know all of the major news sources and all of our sources that we have overseas, we post articles every day on endtime.com regarding the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. So if you'd like to go hear Irvin speak on July the 10th at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, if you didn't get the address, it's the Wesley Methodist United Methodist Church located at 2705 Virginia Parkway, McKinney, Texas. And he's going to be speaking about breaking prophetic fulfillments. If you'd like some more information on that, you can call and talk to our girls here. And they'll help you out with an address on how to get there. And we're not, like I said, we're not lacking for things to talk about. The fulfillment of Bible prophecy is all around us. So I want to thank you because you've been listening to End of the Age.
From here to Armageddon, breaking prophetic fulfillments, America's God-given destiny. With topics such as these, you won't want to miss upcoming End Time Prophecy Conferences.
Irvin Baxter will be traveling to many cities where he'll be teaching these exciting lessons.
To those of you in Lexington, Kentucky, Houston and Murphy, Texas, and Shreveport, Louisiana, we'll be heading your way soon.
Come meet our End Time team and other people like you who want to learn what God has in store in the days ahead. View our wide selection of prophecy materials and take End Time lessons home to share with family and friends.
We hope you'll come and be encouraged, gaining new understanding as prophecy continues to unfold.
Go to endtime.com and under events, click the conference link or call 1-800-END-TIME to find more details about these conferences.
The world is entering a time of more prophetic fulfillments than any other time in mankind's history. Israel and the city of Jerusalem will be the epicenter of these fulfillments. The scripture tells us that the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. We, along with Israel, need to understand the times so we, the end time generation, know what to do. That understanding is contained in this lesson, Israel's Future According to Bible Prophecy. Get this lesson by calling 1-800-END-TIME or go to endtime.com.
If your radio station only carries the first 30 minutes of End of the Age, go to endtime.com to continue to listen to today's broadcast.
Welcome back, everybody. And I'm talking to you today about the Declaration of Independence. We just celebrated America's 240th year anniversary from coming out from under Great Britain and the tyranny that we were living under over there. And that was actually a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The Declaration of Independence and the establishment of the nation of America, the United States of America, is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And I'm taking you down through Daniel chapter 7 and showing you how this was, where this was prophesied in Scripture. Why? Because there's a process of globalization that's being preached by the President of the United States that would like to yield up that sovereignty that millions of people have died to protect. They would like to yield up that sovereignty and move us into a one world governing body. And we don't want that. We are totally against the process of globalization interconnectedness, we're against all of that. And so consequently, I'm saying that it was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and we need to hold to these truths. We need to hold to these documents that were given to us and that blood has been shed over to protect. And we don't need to just, you know, when we come to July 4th, Independence Day, just have a cookout and go see some fireworks and, hey, yeehaw, we had another good July 4th. No. People died and blood was shed so that we could have the freedoms that we enjoy here in the United States. But they can be gone. They can be gone just in a moment if we don't fight to protect those freedoms. So that's why I wanted to go over it again today and show you how important the Declaration of the Independence is, the Constitution, all these other different documents that we have granting us our freedoms. And those freedoms are not given to us by government. Those freedoms are not given to us by the United Nations or a world governing body. Those freedoms are given to us by our Creator, by God. God gave us these freedoms. And so if a government didn't give it to me, a government can't take it away from me. So the United States of America prophesied in Scripture. Let's talk about it. Daniel chapter 7, verse 4 says that the first was like a lion. Remember, I'm giving you these were beasts. Daniel saw different animals that symbolized nations that would be on the earth at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. In Daniel 7, 4, he states, the first was like a lion, which we know now, I've already explained to you, is Great Britain. And of course, the bear was Russia. And then he says, I saw a lion, and it had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. So notice very closely that the eagle's wings were plucked from the lion. So the eagle's wings, remember the lion's Great Britain. So the eagle's wings symbolize the United States of America. The eagle, obviously, is our national bird. The reverse side of the U.S. $1 bill pictures the eagle as our national seal. The United States was obviously birthed and taken from, we declared our independence from Great Britain. And 2,300 years after this scripture was written, America declared her independence from Great Britain. So Daniel chapter 7, verse 4 states, I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth. Well, this illustrates the United States breaking away from Great Britain. Daniel saw this in a vision 2,500 years ago. He prophesied about the Declaration of Independence in 550 B.C., You say, well, how did he know that? Because he was moved on by God. God gave Daniel these visions, and he wrote them down. Why did God give him these visions? Because prophecy was given for us to understand. If you remember in chapter 12, Daniel asked the Lord, wait, what do all these things mean? And the Lord said, nope, close up and seal this book, because it's for the people of the time of the end. Well, now we can understand the writings of Daniel, because these nations exist today. So the Declaration of Independence was prophesied by Almighty God in Daniel chapter 7, verse 4. Daniel chapter 7, verse 4 also says, I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Well, of course, many of you know that the United States has another symbol commonly associated with it, and it's the symbol of a man, Uncle Sam. All of this was prophesied, the Declaration of Independence, the establishment of our nation, the United States of America, 2,500 years ago in Daniel chapter 7, verse 4. And yet President Obama would say, I'm for, and he would advocate the process of globalization that would yield up our sovereignty, that would just overlook the Declaration of Independence, which is diametrically opposed to what President Obama is advocating, and say, let's overlook that. I'm willing to yield up our sovereignty to a one world governing body. When he preaches globalization, that's what he's preaching. Yielding up the sovereignty of the United States that people have fought, bled, and paid the ultimate sacrifice, died for. Anybody who's for a world governing body is willing to overlook all of that and say, you know what? I know that may have happened, but it means nothing now. I'm willing to yield up that sovereignty to a one world governing body. Well, I can tell you what, folks, I'm never going to be a part of that. I don't agree with a one world government. And it's actually going to, the one world government is actually given its power by Satan. The Bible says that. And so consequently, I'm never going to be a part of that, and I hope you won't either. That's why these prophecies are so important that we understand them. Because you can just, I mean, I don't want the July 4th to just be about a cookout and go see some fireworks. It's so much more than that. We need to hold true to the freedoms that we have because people have shed their blood for them over the years. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people. So let's go on to the next animal here in Daniel chapter 7, the leopard. Daniel 7:6 says, after this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Well, of course, the leopard, if you follow us, our program at all, it symbolizes another nation predicted for our time. Webster's online dictionary with multilingual thesaurus translation states, the leopard is also the unofficial national animal of Germany, replacing the tiger, which was, along with the eagle, the national animal of Nazi Germany. And of course, the Leopard tank was a German-designed tank, which entered service in 1965. So it's referred to here as the eagle, or the leopard, I'm sorry. The correlations between these symbols from Daniel and these nations seems it's obvious now. The Lord told Daniel the understanding of the prophecies was for the people of the time of the end. If these are in fact legitimate correlations, it appears, which we know for sure now, to be very evident, Jesus Christ will return to the earth in the era of Great Britain, Russia, the United States of America, and Germany. Now let me talk to you real quick about the Fourth Reich, because it's very key to understanding that the leopard is Germany. The leopard, Daniel 7:6, had four heads. The other beast or nations in Daniel 7 had only one head each. In Bible prophecy, a beast always represents a nation along with its ruler. Multiple heads on the beast represent the number of times that particular nation will rise and fall. It's found in Revelation 17:10. There's another beast there. So, if the leopard is in fact representing Germany, the four heads of the leopard spoken in Daniel 7:6 represent Germany's the amount of times it will rise and fall, or the First Reich, the Second Reich, Hitler's Third Reich, and of course the Fourth Reich, which is now rising. We've got articles written on our website about Germany. Is Germany rising now? Well, of course it is. Look at the European Union. Germany is the by far the most economically strong power in the EU, and the one that holds the purse strings, they make the rules. It's the golden rule. The one who has the gold makes the rules. Well, that's Germany. So there's also a book written by an American author called The Fourth and Richest Reich, How the Germans Conquered the Post-War World. The leopard from Daniel 7:6 also has four wings of a fowl on his back. So in consideration of the symbolism of the eagle's wings on the back of the lion in correlation to Great Britain and the United States of America, the four wings of the back of the leopard must be symbolic somehow. Well, the official emblem of France is the rooster or the fowl. So ever since World War II, France and Germany have worked together under the Franco-German alliance to rebuild Europe. Together, they have built what today is the most powerhouse of the world, the European Union. Germany and France worked together to build that. So you have the lion, which is Great Britain, the eagle's wings, which is the United States, the bear, which is Russia. Then you have the four-headed leopard, which is Germany, the wings of the fowl on the back, which is France, the Franco-German alliance. And then we have one more beast, the ten-horned beast. Remember, Daniel couldn't describe it. What does the ten-horned beast symbolize? Well, in Daniel 7:7, it says, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly. and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Daniel was unable to liken this beast to anything. It was a horrific looking beast. But all he knew was that beast had 10 horns. No name was given for it because the beast did not resemble anything Daniel had ever seen. He'd seen a lion and a bear and all these different things, but he'd never seen this kind of a beast. But its prominent characteristics, remember, was its 10 horns. In Daniel 7:24, we discover that what these 10 horns symbolize. Daniel 7:24 says, "And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings which shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he will be diverse or different from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings." So here Daniel's describing one beast, one nation or power, but yet 10 kings. So it appears to be an alliance or a federation of nations. And in Revelation 17:12, it sheds a little more light when it says, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but they received power as kings 1 hour with the beast." The beast here obviously is referring to the last day dictator, the Antichrist. The 10 kings will subjugate themselves to the power of the Antichrist. So jumping back to Daniel 2:44, we're going to learn a little bit more. It refers to these last 10 kings as well, but it symbolizes them in a different way. The verses prior to verse 44 describe Nebuchadnezzar's image prophecy or a statue. It had an image, the image was a head of gold, arms and breast of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron mingled with clay. The legs of iron were the Roman Empire. But the feet of iron mingled with clay represent the Holy Roman Empire, two totally different entities. The Holy Roman Empire was established in 800 AD. So, when we get back from the break, I'll continue on describing what the 10 toes represent in Daniel chapter 2, because they represent the same thing as the 10 horns in Daniel chapter 7. It's the same exact thing, same exact entity. And I'm showing you, I'm describing to you that what the beast represent in Daniel chapter 7. It's very key.
In the space of just 1 week in Paris, France, 8 synagogues were attacked. One was firebombed by a 400-strong mob. Additionally, a kosher supermarket and pharmacy were smashed and looted. The crowds chanted, "Death to the Jews." One banner at the demonstrations read, "Israel." There's some more evidence concerning the Great Tribulation and the fact that we actually have entered into the prelude to the Great Tribulation. One person said, "It's like the 1930s all over again."
Go to endtime.com and under Irvin's Thoughts, click the Great Tribulation to watch this video.
Welcome back, everybody. And I'm describing I'm giving you the prophecy, the fulfillment, or the prophecy that was given by Daniel in Daniel 7 about the Declaration of Independence. It's Daniel chapter 7, verse 4. And I'm describing to you all the different beasts there, the lion with eagle's wings, the bear, the four-headed leopard, and the other animal that he couldn't describe. It was a horrific beast, and it had 10 horns. So if it's talking about the Holy Roman Empire in Daniel chapter 2, and if you know, and Nebuchadnezzar saw a vision, had a head of gold, belly and thighs, or arms and breast of silver, belly and thighs of brass, had legs of iron, and then it had 10 toes. And if you notice the 10 toes of this kingdom, they're also mingled with clay. So it was iron mingled with clay. Then in Daniel 2:44, it says, "And in the days of these kings," the kings symbolized by the 10 toes, These are the same 10 kings referenced in Daniel 7:7 who are going to make war against Jesus Christ when he returns. So we know this is referencing the same exact prophecy because the rest of this portion of Daniel 2:44 says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom here on earth." So additionally, in the days of these kings, the kingdom will not be left to other people, but the kingdom of God shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So it is from verse 44 that we know that the ten horn kingdom will be the revival of the Holy Roman Empire from Europe. Well, of course, the Holy Roman Empire, with Germany at its center and its inclusion of France, Italy, and the Vatican, has always been from Europe. And now, though it did cease to exist in 1806, it's prophesied in the Bible to be in existence at the time of the second coming. So the key point to remember is that the feet and the ten toes of iron mingled with clay on Nebuchadnezzar's statue in Daniel 2, they symbolize the exact same ten kings as the ten horns in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. So the mingling of iron with clay represents the coalition of a political leader and a spiritual leader that will be at the helm of this revived Holy Roman Empire at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. These two leaders from the European Union will combine their power and influence and will be the power base for the reestablished Holy Roman Empire. Well, of course, if you follow our program at all, on November 3rd, 2009, you will have learned that when the Lisbon Treaty was signed, it was at this time that the Holy Roman Empire was reborn. This Holy Roman Empire is the entity that will be in power on the earth at the time of the Antichrist and the false prophet and the second coming of Jesus Christ. So remember, the ten toes on Nebuchadnezzar's vision in Daniel 2 is the exact same thing as the ten horns on the beast in Daniel chapter 7. So, what's all this leading to? This is very key because now we're going to get into globalization like we were talking about in the first part of the program. If you jump forward from Daniel, the book of Daniel, to the book of Revelation, 650 years to Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 through 2, John records a vision of one single beast. Remember, there were four separate beasts in Daniel chapter 7. Now when you get over to Revelation chapter 13, John sees a vision of a singular beast, a big combo beast, where all these beasts are joined together. And it states that this beast, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns were ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy, and the beast which I saw, this big combo beast, was like unto a leopard, so it had the body of a leopard, the feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. So, all of the separate beasts or nations in Daniel chapter 7 are now joined into one combo beast in Revelation 13, symbolizing the end time one world government that will exist on the earth at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is the same one world government that is now being promoted by internationalists and global elites. So when you hear terms such as globalization, interdependence, international community, the New World Order, International Criminal Court, the World Bank, World Health Organization, Sustainable Development, Agenda 21, or United Nations, think world government. It's also the same world government that the Antichrist will reign over in the near future. You say, so what's the good news? And what can we do? Is there any good news in any of this? Because our president is currently preaching globalization or moving America towards a one world government. Well, here's the good news. America is not specifically prophesied in Scripture to be a part of the end time world government. If you notice on this in Revelation 13, the eagle's wings are not mentioned in the one world governing beast. All the beasts in Daniel 7 are represented there except the United States of America. Furthermore, in Daniel 11, verse 21 through 45, and Revelation 12, 14, both speak of wars that the Antichrist will be fighting during his reign. So, since nations will be opposing the Antichrist, it is possible that the United States, since we're not mentioned in that world governing body, could be one of those resisting nations. America, please listen. We simply need to get back to being a nation whose laws and principles are based on the Bible. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," that's very key, "and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." The scriptures give Christians specific instructions for the last days. Daniel 11, 32 and 33 states, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he," the Antichrist, "corrupt by flatteries." So during the time of the Antichrist, just in the near future, "the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many." America needs to get back to the Bible, learn what it means, obey it, and then turn and teach others. Remember, the Bible says during the time of the Antichrist, "they that understand among the people shall instruct many." Then Matthew 24, 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So, political activism, that's not the answer. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, what I've just told you about the kingdom of God that's coming to every person on earth, is what God wants His people to be doing during these last times. America was built on godly principles and upon the idea of having one independent nation under God, pledging allegiance only to Him. The very existence of the Declaration of Independence screams to the world that the United States is not interdependent with any foreign nation or world government, nor do we want to be. The global government that will rule the earth over the next few years will be based on Satan's methods of ruling the world, not God's. And at this critical time, it's absolutely imperative that we have enough prophetic understanding to declare separation from what I see as our present day King George. And that's the one world government. So I want to give you, just as with as much time as I have left, a few excerpts from the Declaration of Independence. It's very key because we can go to July 4th and say, "Hey, let's just, you know, who's cooking out? What, whose house are we going to? Where are we going to go watch fireworks?" And totally slide over what we're supposed to be recognizing and celebrating: the Declaration of Independence out from under King George. But yet, if we move into the process of globalization, we might as well rip up the Declaration of Independence, throw it in the trash can, and join the one world government. Because globalization is the process of moving the United States into a one world governing body and all the other nations of the world. Globalization, interconnectedness, not independence, interconnectedness. So listen at the beginning of the Declaration of Independence. "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them." Remember, our rights come from God, not from government. "A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation." We're not called to be interdependent, we're called to be separate. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator, not government, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter it or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. So if you look at what's going on in America today, we're looking at the process of globalization. Our president, who is saying, hey, I'm one man, I speak for the people of the United States of America, and I want to move us, I want to yield up our sovereignty to this one world governing body. I'm advocating, remember the article that I talked about at the beginning of the program? President Obama is needing all of his oratory skills to sell globalization in upcoming speeches that will set the foreign policy for his final 6 months in office. Talking about the President of the United States, he's advocating yielding up the sovereignty of the United States of America and moving us into a one world governing body. We do not want that. The people of the United States don't want that. We signed a Declaration of Independence. We just celebrated that Declaration of Independence, 240 years of freedom yesterday. And I'm thankful to God that I live in the United States of America, and I'm not going to give up my rights to the government. My rights don't come from the government. My rights come from God, who created me. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for each one of you who stand up for your rights as well, and the freedoms that God gave us when we were created.
Is a production of End Time Ministries. This broadcast will be available on our website, endtime.com, in the archives section. On our website, you'll also find more information about how current events are fulfilling Bible prophecy. To reach our operators, call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. End Time Ministries is partner supported. We would like to say thank you to our partners who made this broadcast possible. To do what Matthew 24:14 said, to reach the world with the gospel of the kingdom.